Welcome to show number 121 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. I wish I was joining you on this podcast today from Las Vegas, Nevada, but I am not. I am in California, so what am I to complain about? My brother will be calling in shortly to the program, and we'll be talking to him about the Las Vegas Industry Summit Day 1 because he's there. And so we'll talk about all the kind of stuff that he saw. Sunday is kind of like a setup day and kind of get there. Make sure you got all your luggage and you checked in. You might obviously probably register and get your badge and stuff in your bag at the Industry Summit. But other than that, you might walk around the show floor, shake some hands with some friends that you might know. Check out everybody's booth during the exhibit hall. But other than that, really the beef of this conference starts tomorrow and through the rest of the week and runs through March 17th through the 20th. So a Sunday through a Wednesday. So we'll be here with you each day. So come back if you find us on iTunes. Come back on iTunes. I always put a link on our website. If you go to our website and find the stream the podcast links or whatever it is, you'll be able to find a link there to every show or wherever you happen to find us. I think we're on like Stitcher Radio, and there's probably all kinds of feeds and things like that you can find us. So every day this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, unless my brother passes out or something, and then I might just do it myself. But we're going to be joined by my brother each day, who's going to be there on the show floor. He'll have kind of a firsthand experience. So we'll talk to him about that. Other than that, I probably don't have a whole lot else planned for the program. So that's what you have to look forward to today. And we'll be back right after this with an interview with my brother Ryan from the Industry Summit. And we are back. We are joined today on the line, on scene from the Las Vegas Industry Summit. Ryan, take it away. What's going on, man?
Just hanging out. I've got a 25th floor suite at the Palms Place. I've got a really nice view of the entire Las Vegas kind of strip and valley and everything. So just hanging out, taking in the day. And can you tell Nick that he needs to get down to Vegas as soon as possible? I need a bodyguard here. I'm about to get escorted out of the summit for controversial tweeting and, overall negativity of some of my actions here. So tell Nick, really? My bodyguard, that he needs to get down here ASAP. And call a lawyer for me, too.
Call a lawyer. Okay. Well, I'll do. Yeah. I'll call Mr. Teal for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. hey, well, that's interesting. You know, people are, I guess, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I remember Twitter being equally as raw and equally as opinionated. Maybe people cared less, and maybe there's certainly less people using the whole site and certainly less people in the hobby using it back then. But people need to understand, too, I don't think you're taking it probably too personally, but also that, what was there, 478? People at the Industry Summit. That's a very minute number. Really, I think the National Sports Convention had thousands and thousands of collectors. So those are technically the people, I guess, you're trying to speak to on a program like this.
Absolutely. The convention dwarfs, or the National Convention this year, it'll be in Chicago, dwarfs this type of event. This is more for people who are trying to make money. Business type people, the companies, distributors, people who have a vested interest in the business itself and are not really collectors.
Well, since you brought it up, since it was a slow day, we'll get to that in a little bit at the Industry Summit. What's the beef? Why are people so upset with you? What's your negative? Why you? Why are people taking what you and maybe possibly myself say so seriously?
I definitely kind of displayed my displeasure toward Tops and how they run their company. And I would challenge really anybody at Tops to call BS or disprove any of the things that I said about their financial situation, about how much money they make in interest per year, how much money they had in the bank when the company sold. These are all things that are a public record. How they treat their customers and customer service-wise. These are all things that are totally out in the open on forums, on Twitter, on Facebook, on other people's websites, day in and day out. It's just a lot of people don't want to address them. And the thing about Topps is they put on a very good face. I mean, I think the guy tweeted me, and the guy who runs the Topps Twitter, his name's Mark Sapir. So he tweeted me a couple times trying to get me to meet up with him or have some kind of meeting with him. And I'm not interested in that whatsoever. I don't buy products. I'm involved in the hobby, and I'm very aware of what products are coming out, but I don't spend my hard-earned money on product like I know a lot of people out there listening do. A lot of people have way better ideas than I do. The last thing they need to do is be meeting with me. And let me tell you a little bit about Topps is they put on a really good kind of face sometimes in public, but when you get them on the phone in private, and I know this firsthand, when you get them on the phone in private, it becomes a very dictatorship. They tell you what to do. They tell you this is how it's going to be, and if you say anything negative about us, especially on Twitter, and that's a direct quote, actually. I'll just say that right now. That's a direct quote from Topps. If I ever hear or see you say anything negative about this company, referring to Topps, especially on Twitter, those were direct words from that I got from Topps in a conversation. So people can say that maybe I have a little beef with them, but I've never reached out to Topps and asked them for anything, ever, nothing, zero, not free product, not a checklist for cards, not for information on a set, not to interview on a podcast, nothing, zero. So for them to come at me in that kind of way, rub me the wrong way, and it's not how I do business, it's not how I like to be treated, and it's not how I'll... it's not an honest representation to the collectors out there of what type of company Topps is. They're owned by a private equity firm that cares nothing about collectors, cares nothing about card collectors. Trust me, the employees at Topps and the people that own Topps care nothing about card collectors. And it sounds harsh, but it's the honest truth. They care about making money, and they care about having a good kind of public image. So I've had several people come up to me and kind of confirmed that they've had the same type of dealings with Topps, and I haven't had one person say, boy, you're full of crap. Topps is great. Their customer service is great. They communicate with me. I haven't had one person on Twitter, in person, tell me otherwise. So I challenge anybody at that company to call bullshit on anything that I've said, either on social media or in person or on this podcast. I challenge anybody to call bullshit. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Topps is America's card company. I love Topps. I love their product. They make great products. But their customer service sucks. Their communication with collectors sucks. Their communication with hobby media sucks. Point blank, period. So that's how I feel. I have no problem saying that out. And I don't want to have private conversations with people. Because private conversations get you nowhere. Private conversations, their terms, they're going to tell you how it is. And I have no interest in having a private conversation with really any company employee. Because nothing gets done there. Absolutely nothing. It's going to be on their terms. I'd rather have it in the open, on Twitter, on some kind of social media, so that everybody can see the conversation. I have no interest in talking to anybody on a podcast, interviewing anybody from Topps ever. Talk to your collectors. Answer emails. Answer the phone when people call. Don't talk to me. Talk to the people who spend money on thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on their product each year. Talk to them, not me.
Well, yeah, hopefully they might start spending more time paying attention to their needs and their complaints and maybe following up with them instead of, you know, plus I always think of Twitter, and maybe to not get too far off topic, I always think of Twitter as kind of like a zinger, kind of like jab website. You wouldn't go to somebody's Facebook wall and necessarily do something like that or go to their Tumblr or Instagram. Twitter is all about the 140-word like character zinger, you know. You need to like throw bombs on there, otherwise nobody's going to care. Everybody's just going to, you know, flash over your, roll over your tweet. So I think people need to understand that it's more, the site is more caters to those. You end up paying attention to those tweets more than the thousands and thousands and thousands you come across each day. You're really just singling out one that happened to hit a chord with you. So, but anyways, maybe not to take up that, that wasn't the bulk of it. You know, people's personal feelings with you might not necessarily be of interest to everybody. What was kind of the mood of the event, other than outside everybody maybe disliking you, wanting to give you the boot? Were people excited? Were people just promoing the heck out of their stuff? Were people, you know, like just getting there? Were people sleepy? What was kind of everybody's mood once you got on the show floor?
I think it started picked up when the show floor opened at 3 p.m. But beforehand, when it was like 11 o'clock, you know, when it kind of started and you were registering, people seemed kind of a little somber. I even heard people talk about slow sales and that things weren't really that great right now in terms of sales in the sports category. So I can't say that it was a really upbeat environment. I can't say that it was a really negative environment either. I think people are here. They value the opportunity to talk to people more so than I do. And that's really how you gain value out of this event, is you talk to the distributors and you have one-on-one time with Panini and Leaf and Upper Deck and Peach State and GTS and all these people who are out there, and Mojo Break and those kind of guys. You have one-on-one time with these people to kind of talk to them and build a relationship. Some of the presentations, you know, the problem with today, they had these kind of speed, they call it speed networking. The problem is that at a table, we're like 20 people all trying to have a group conversation. It's very hard to have a group conversation with 20 people and have questions and have everybody give their opinion on the question, on the topics and the questions that were being asked. So I literally didn't even take part in that because I was like, I'm not going to sit here with a group of 25 people when, somebody's bound to dominate that conversation. And I don't think a whole lot of back and forth goes on in that type of, you know, the groups should have been a lot smaller, like 7 or 8, or even less, talking about the issues as part of the speed networking. So they did the speed network, and then the Mosaic came up and talked about some research, some market research they did, which was really interesting. Actually, I found it interesting, at least. And
what did talk a little bit about that? I know that there was some like obvious. I don't know if they released all the info there or they have more that they're going to be doing. You know, it looked like, you know, obviously most collectors collect baseball. It looked like the box break. Maybe talk a little bit about they seem to have a lot of data on box breakers and how that segment is growing and et cetera. What did they say about that?
They definitely have evidence from the 3,000 people that they surveyed that the category of box breaking is on the rise. It's growing. I think that's fairly obvious, too, just kind of looking out there. That people will probably spend less at card shops in the future, or plan to spend less at card shops in the future. The most popular thing people collect is baseball. The most popular items are packs and singles. Really somewhat, if you're in tune to this hobby, it's somewhat obvious, some of the things. But some of the numbers were kind of surprising. You know what, and this was just a preview of some of the research they did. They're going to have a more extensive talk, I believe it's on Tuesday. So I'll probably continue to dig into it. And there's about 3 or 4 people from Mosaic, but I met one lady, her name is Lori, and she's very knowledgeable about sports cards. Extremely knowledgeable about all the new sets that are coming about. She's a collector herself. So it seemed like a well thought out and a very kind of professionally done research thing. So while I may not agree necessarily with all the numbers or some of the findings, it still doesn't matter. They did the research, they have the data, they have the numbers, and I find it interesting. So I'll certainly be kind of reporting on that when they do their full presentation on Tuesday.
Yeah, and wait, what about the show floor? Once you got on the show floor, what was it all set up? What retailer or booths like kind of stood out? Like what was like kind of impressive or what was kind of cool?
What stood out the most was probably actually not even a sports card one, was the Cryptozoic Walking Dead booth, where they were giving out a Walking Dead card to like the first 200 shop owners or something. There was a huge line. The cards looked amazing. They had a bunch of like packs out and stuff. So that was pretty sweet. Panini's booth is really kind of small and sweet, but you know, they have three employees there kind of ready to talk to you and stuff. And they're actually right in front, right when you walk in, Panini's booth is right there. And there's some distributors website, a bunch of distributors there have booths. The TriStar booth is always really cool because they have autograph stuff on display, and they have information about their shows coming up and their products coming up. I found that booth to be very cool. Upper Deck's booth was really sweet. They had a bunch of cards on display. You could get a free calendar. A bunch of the distributors had free product that you could get if you ordered, you know, a certain amount. You could get a free Magic Johnson jersey, for instance, from one of them. You could get a free Robert Griffin 8x10 from another distributor by just ordering product that you might have already ordered anyways. So it's some exclusive summit opportunities that I'm sure people are going to take advantage of. And it's just all part of that networking and that, sure, you pay $400 to come here, and it's expensive, you know, for hotels and flights. But if you're able to kind of meet enough people, take advantage of some of the deals, you're going to walk home, you know, recouping some of that money, hopefully, at the end of the day.
Nice. And, well, hey, what's coming up? I mean, Sunday wasn't a big day. What's coming up, like Monday, Tuesday, anything exciting, anything look like you're looking forward to?
Definitely the corporate presentations. I think 7:30 a.m. I don't know how I'm going to wake up for this, but 7:30 a.m. Leaf, Brian Gray, who's very interesting, very vocal, very proud of his Johnny Manziel card that he, a redemption card that he made and got kind of national attention on ESPN and websites and so forth. He's going to be doing a presentation tomorrow. I'm sure that'll be somewhat interesting, and he's going to say some interesting things. Panini will do a corporate presentation, and then after that presentation, they will give away the black box, which has one-of-one cards in it. And there's some other things. I can't say that the schedule this year was really that interesting to me. I thought it was more interesting in the past. And maybe because there's more people here, it's harder to get in that kind of smaller group and really talk to people. But for me, I'm just going to try to talk to a bunch of shop owners tomorrow, find out what's selling, find out what they like, what they don't like, and really just be reporting on that on Twitter, and that's about it. I'm not going to write anything. I'm not going to sit down and crank out articles or anything like that. So if you really want Sports Card Radio Summit coverage, you either need to listen to this podcast or be on Twitter, because when I come home, I'm going to be going to baseball games every day, so I'm not. I'm done with the Summit.
maybe that's why people don't like you. They see you going to baseball games and writing about baseball cards. Maybe people are a little jealous of your lifestyle. And you're staying at the 20-something-odd floor at the Palms. Maybe they're wondering why they are not there with you, I guess.
I don't know. I live in the ghetto, so I certainly don't have a baller lifestyle. But I think the funny thing was, I had several people come up to me and mention, be like, wow, dude, you know, praising me for some of my honesty, but also at the same time saying, man, dude, there's some people here who do not like you, like, straight up. Like, are you worried about getting kicked out of the Summit? two separate people told me that. Are you worried that Kevin Isaacson is going to kick you out of the Summit? And I'm like, not really. I don't think he would do that, you know. He'd have to refund my money. And then it would be I'm sure I would have something to say if I got kicked out of the Summit. So I don't think they even want to go there. So, but I just found it surprising that, hey, a lot of people apparently are reading what I'm putting on Twitter, and that, you know, people are coming up to me and being like, dude, people don't like you. And I'm like, hey, it is what it is, you know, what am I going to do about it?
Hey, yeah, exactly. What are you going to do about it? Well, hey, what are you going to do? We won't keep you on too much longer here. I know you had an early morning, and you might have another one coming up here. What do you got planned for the rest of the night here?
Doug, Dan, and some friends are going to come over to the Palms place. We're going to drink some beer and hang out, and I'll probably try to not have too late a night. And wake up tomorrow, and maybe we'll do another one of these tomorrow. Like you said, the summit today was a little, you know, a lot of people are traveling in today, so they didn't put a heavy schedule. There wasn't a whole lot of presentation and so on and so forth. So tomorrow should be a little more action, and we'll probably do, like, same time, same place tomorrow. We'll do another little short podcast. Hopefully I'm still alive, and I don't get, you know, gunned down by cops or anything like that, and, you know, everything will be okay.
Yeah, yeah, watch out, watch out. There's, like, all kinds of, like, old mafia ties and all kinds of stuff back in the day in Vegas. So, yeah, you got to watch your back in that town. You know, don't go too far north. Stay in the Orleans, I wouldn't say, is the best part of town, but it's not horrible. So you're at the Palms, so you're not doing too bad for yourself. So hopefully all goes well for you, Ryan. Like you said, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Got any last words for everybody out there?
That's about it. Keep buying cards, keep collecting, find something that you enjoy, and if you want to know anything about the summit, just email us or hit me on Twitter. The Twitter handle is SportsCardNews. So, there you go.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful night out about on the town, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Sweet. Sounds good.